Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. Spring has sprung here in New York City, and I'm really glad to have my friend Tris Willey in the studio today.
Thanks, Damon. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And also, what's really cool is if you guys are out there today, we're having a Heritage party tonight at the Heritage Foods USA office building, whatever we want to call it, compound. And you're going to be making some drinks there tonight.
Yeah, me and Dave Arnold are going to be back there making a mess as usual.
Yeah, what are you going to be making?
It's one of the new things we're working on at the bar, which is we're kind of taking an old school method of a milk punch and applying it in a little bit of a different fashion. So we've infused some vodka with some tea, and then we are pulling all the tannic properties out of that with some milk after we wash it and spin it through the centrifuge. And then we're just making a nice like Arnold Palmer, a little honey, a little lemon, and the tea vodka.
Cool. Yeah. Milk punches have been coming up a lot lately, like this year. It's kind of crazy. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's got their like, version of it. And it's one of those weird things that, like, I don't know. Like, it's weird to see how, like, things trend in the cocktail world. And that's one that I wasn't, like, necessarily projecting
for 2013. That's something you would predict would come out of the woodworks again. We stumbled on ours, like, on complete accident again. We were doing this thing where we're like, how do we get this bitterness out of the tea? Well, we can use milk to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know what we're doing? We're just making a milk punch. It's something they've been doing for ages. But fortunately, we have a centrifuge to kind of expedite the
That's
the
awesome.
Process.
And like, so that's one thing that really sets apart your bar from the others. It's like walking into a mad science lab, but with booze. You guys have, you incorporate centrifuges, rotovaps, red hot pokers, like all kinds of crazy stuff. Like to me, it's kind of very indulgent for like what I like to do, like or like what I want to do, you know. But I don't necessarily have all that very pricey equipment around, and that definitely like changes. The game for a lot of other people too. I know that, you know, there's Tony at 69 Colebrook Row. He's like one of the guys who's like doing a lot of that. Those guys in England in general, like Nick Strangeway, those guys are crazy.
London is really bringing it on that front. They've got a lot of focus on the old rotovaps and the centrifuge kind of culture right now.
The whole molecular gastronomy thrown in, you know, behind the bar. And like, okay, so how... Were you working anyway with any of this stuff before?
No, this is all brand new to me. You know, this is what, it's a whole new kind of world coming into Booker and Dax dealing with this stuff. I was fortunate enough to be distilling before this, which was great, and kind of gave me a little bit of heads up on how to craft spirits and deal with it on that kind of level. But I was bartending at Amore. So Amore Margo, where we don't have anything, we don't have tools, we don't have juices, we don't have anything like that. It was the most basic kind of bartending, pouring alcohol in a glass and serving it out. This was quite the change. There was a huge learning curve.
Yeah. So. There must have, well, some of those processes, though, I mean, were probably, there's probably somewhat of a segue with like working with like Mayor Subirao.
Yeah, I mean, the ideas are there, and you know, once you start using these tools like the centrifuge and even the rotovap, the idea of them is very basic. The equipment is extremely complicated and can cause a lot of advanced issues. But the
like
way we view it, the way we view it is as simple as can be. And you know, we're not pulling a lot of things out of there that are that exotic or foreign or that kind of thing. They just have to be a better way or cleaner way to get to it, the end result. So it's not a huge departure from classic cocktail flavors, or anything over the top. And if you've seen our drinks at the bar, they're pretty minimal looking. We're not doing anything insane with presentation or anything like that. So it's often a complicated process for a very simple but hopefully prettier ingredient.
Yeah.
So it's easy to wrap your mind around it as long as you're considering the whole process or the outcome, more of a simple thing.
Yeah. It's like you guys have one of the things I like the most is I like hot drinks. I mean, I don't drink them all the time, but I like the idea of hot drinks. But like, you know, when you think about beer cocktails, you know, the first thing you think about is maybe like a Michelada, but there's a whole world out there of like just knowing how to use it, you know, like use different beers and different ingredients. And totally. Same thing with, I mean, I guess you could say even like savory cocktails, you would think about like the Bloody Mary first and then wondering where you can go from that. And like it seems like such a small kind of area to play around with. But with hot drinks, there's so many cool things you could do besides the first one you think of being the hot toddy or like an Irish whiskey.
Right.
For instance, like, you know, using these red hot pokers, which actually is really, really primitive in like the early days of cocktail making. Like, especially punches and things like that.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge throwback, which I get a real kick out of, you know, because it's this newfangled wired heater that, honestly, we plug into the wall and have had many issues with. emulating the simplest, absolute, most basic, you know, principle from back in the day. You know, a hot stick in a fireplace.
Yeah.
So I get a kick out of that. But it allows us to do some really cool things.
It's really cool, too. And, like, you know, especially like the presentation of doing that and, you know, taking this mixing glass or specifically, well, something made of metal, but you don't really want to do that in a glass, I guess.
Believe it or not, we use pint glasses.
You do?
Yeah. It's frightening.
Yeah, yeah. It's scary. But you put the red hot poker in there and it like lights a lot of alcohol on fire and it's just really cool. Like, you know, everyone likes to see like fire behind a bar. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
It's the coolest thing ever.
It's funny when you're standing behind the bar and you're using the red hot poker because as soon as you use it, every head in the bar swivels straight towards you and is looking, you know, it just draws attention. It's spouting flames. I mean, it's inevitable.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's nice to have an end result that's actually giving you something different.
Yeah, like caramelizing the sugars and the different alcohols.
Yeah, it expresses herbal content in like huge ways and it just binds ingredients together really well. And also, we don't have to dilute a hot cocktail with like hot water or steam or anything like that, so we can take a real control of it.
So that's something also, I'm glad you mentioned that a lot of your cocktails seem like they don't really require any kind of dilution.
Right.
Can you talk to us about that? Like, what are the benefits, pros and cons maybe, or specifically pros, I guess?
Yeah, because <You know? laughs> yeah, we're
hopefully
doing
there's
it.
No cons.
Yeah. well, you know, there's a huge con to this, and that's that people don't see the actual making of the cocktail, and it throws a lot of people off. All of our cocktails are diluted, you know, because you need dilution. It's a major part of building a cocktail. Without the water in there, you lose flavors and things are too strong, and it gives it an actual volume for you to sip on. And all of our cocktails include that, which we add into the process ahead of time. You know, when we carbonate, we have to add a substantial amount of dilution. When we use the red hot poker, it's built into the drink, and we add the water as an ingredient. The pros to that are consistency. I know exactly how diluted a drink's going to be. I can serve it at the exact same temperature every time. I can get the same results every time, which is a huge benefit. Like, as in our bottled Manhattan, we get to nail down the exact specs that we like, the precise build of that, so that it comes out exactly the same every time. And I'm able to look at someone and be like, this is our Manhattan. This is how we love it.
Yeah.
I hope you do too. And they can get the same drink every time.
From a different bartender as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I gotta say something here. So Giuseppe Gonzalez was on the show last week. you're never gonna beat him in the record of like most curse words on this show. But one of the conversations we kind of got into, one of the many ones, we kind of talked about basically like the human element of making cocktails. And how, like, you know, it is nice to have something pre-batched. But then also, it's kind of nice to, like, taste this person's, you know, like, obviously, if they're going by different specs, that's one thing. But going by the same spec, you know, depending on how someone shakes, how someone stirs, and, like, it's kind of nice to, like, not have everything completely consistent all the time.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, when we're training at the bar, we have each bartender step up and make their old fashioned. And that's something that I love. I've never written a spec for it. I've never, you know, that kind of thing. Each bartender has their own style, and it kind of represents them. The way they make it is interestingly different to watch. And that's part of the fun of sitting in a bar. I mean, you want to see that variation. Like, it's what I look for at the bar. I want to go plop down at the bar and see how somebody does it. And honestly, things come out different, but that's not better or worse.
Sure.
And I totally encourage that. Unless we're going for something that's sensitive or that I want to represent to somebody on, you know, repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So there's a time and place for it to me. I love when somebody sits at the bar and goes, I'm going to have an old fashioned, and the bartender gets light up and do their thing. I also love that our Manhattan is consistent. You know what you're going to get every time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that's nice too. You know, obviously, I kind of feel like as a whole, as far as the bartending community goes, you know, if everyone had the same spec and everyone stirred and shook exactly the same way, we might as well just be going to one bar, you know? Yeah. So I think it's nice to have like these differences, and especially like you said, with very sensitive, like volatile ingredients, you know, especially like something that gets me, like, I don't know, this is coming from like my design background before I started bartending, like, I can't do it anymore, but I used to be able to like look at a color like and get pretty close in the Pantone matching system, like just like call out like, oh, that's Pantone 138 red,
nice,
you know. So that's one of the senses that's involved. I feel like cocktails, like you use all of your senses really, and so to especially things like using the centrifuge and like clarifying juices, which you guys do a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting because then even psychosomatic, like mentally, it changes the way it tastes to you, right?
Oh yeah, because you're not prepared for what may be in the glass because you can't see it. You can't identify it ahead of time, and all of a sudden you sip on something and go, I was not expecting that. It kind of throws, you know, a lot of the people who coming in are looking for exactly what you said, a typical experience, you know, where they can identify or kind of predict what's going to be in something. Throws them right under the bus,
yeah.
Which I kind of enjoy. You know, you kind of see it happen. It's that surprise, that kind of difference that keeps you guessing.
Totally. And like, yeah. I guess it's a little bit different when you like clarify, say, like lime juice. And I mean, texturally, isn't there a difference from the clarified to the?
Oh yeah.
But then when you have something like a whiskey that you clarify,
right?
The body's still pretty much the same, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're not losing any alcoholic content in whiskey. So when you do that, it stays fairly similar. But when you're doing lime juice, you'd pull out so much just matter, just material that you miss in there. Like, I would never make a daiquiri with clarified lime juice. It would be thin, just unimpressive. And it would remove all that wonderful fluffy aeration that you get from just normal lime juice.
And shaking rather than stirring, too.
Right, right. So there's a time and a place for it. But it is certainly different.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these awesome techniques. And I wish I had a rotovap in my house or in my bar so I could reverse distill things and do all kinds of crazy stuff like you guys get to do. Super jealous. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. Speaking with Tristan.
This one is called Coma by Paper Twin. This is the Knife Show remix on heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. In the studio today, we have my buddy Tristan Willey. We've been talking about some of the techniques that they use at Booker & Dax here in New York City, which is like a bar lab, basically. You've got all these crazy, basically medical, lab equipment.
Oh, yeah. Bar lab / bun station / milk bar / restaurant. It's a space.
It's an interesting space. It's
with
very
a
unique
identity. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, before the show, we were talking about, we've also been talking on the previous few shows about customer service and how that translates with different bars and different bartenders and their programs. And do you guys find it difficult sometimes, or does it how do you deal with an environment that's so clinical and lab? How do you bring that in? How do people respond to what's the connection with that in a kind of traditional bar setting, I guess?
It's been a real struggle for us. Right out the get-go, my goal after seeing these new techniques and seeing what they brought to the table and what we were trying to produce was to hide it all. Because when you step into that room, which we assumed a room in the back of Sambar that had previously been a milk bar and then a private dining room, and they still produce the buns for the restaurant there. So you kind of walk into this mix of weird, communal tables, but also there's a guy cooking in the corner and prepping pickled vegetables, and there's a bartender wielding a flaming sword. It's there's a lot going on. And me and Dave set out right out the gates to make sure that it was the end product that had the focus on it, that they were simple but well-produced cocktails.
Yeah.
So the first few weeks, both Dave and I were extremely tempted to go take the Red Hot Poker and the Centrifuge and the Rotovap and put them downstairs and have all that work done out of sight. That way it wasn't focused on any tricks and it wasn't focused on it being a laboratory, but it returned focus back to just being a bar. And while that's a really nice thought, we weren't able to execute that for a couple of reasons. A, they're all things you need to do real time,
yeah,
to produce a drink and expedite that process. And also, if the drinks were coming out how we wanted them to, that we felt eventually that there was nothing wrong with also having, the vision and the sight of how we got there.
Yeah.
So it was just a hard thing where we had to balance out service and this kind of almost unwanted flair of the Red Hot Pokers and liquid nitrogen with just making sure that quality products made it to the table.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge. It was real hard. We still combat that. We don't use anything we try and avoid beakers being at the bar and right. stuff because we don't want people to come and be we're here for the science. I'm like, that's great, but would you like a cocktail? It's kind of the drive we're shooting for.
Yeah. And, I understand that struggle. I mean, any bartender or anyone who works in the service industry understands, the struggle of, putting out excellent customer service and, also just creating a vibe, for a place. I think, I like going in there and seeing all the equipment and everything. I think it's really, really interesting. And, I said, if I could have it, I would.
Come play anytime.
Yeah,
anytime.
Totally. Sweet. I'm going to hold you to that. But yeah, going back to the customer service thing, I think that's also just, it's an issue we've been talking about a lot lately, and it's been coming up a lot lately, especially talking about bar programs. There's, we focus on a lot of different things, having different techniques, different like ice programs, and you know, like I've got the biggest shochu selection in New York City, or like, you know, like there's so many focuses, you know, and that's what makes different bars different and makes them great. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we're bartenders and we're serving people, and it's like, you know, I think more than that drink, you know, the customer is going to remember the bartender, like, that actually like served that drink and like made it the right way. But like, you can teach anyone how to make these drinks, but it's like, right, if you're a bad bartender, you know,
you can't overcome that.
You can't overcome it.
No, I mean, people, as much as I want to believe that the drinks carry all and, you know, it's all about that, it's not. People won't remember the good or the bad drink they have if it took them 20 minutes to get it.
Sure.
Or even, it's my big drive at the bar recently with our staff has always been the small things. Mm-hmm. Because we're a casual spot, you know, we don't do reservations, it's communal tables, you know, it's kind of a loud room with, you know, an assortment of random music. And it doesn't matter that you need to have full water glasses on the table and you need to be attended to.
Yeah.
And you're a person there who's ultimately drinking at a bar, trying to have a good time, most likely with friends or on a date. And it comes down to a wider picture, a human element that is, you know, just more important than all the other parts of it.
Yeah.
And it's caring for a person as a guest when they come in. That is the major drive of any bar. And however you deliver that, you know, whether it's through a beer and shot bar or it's a cocktail bar or whatever your method is, wine bar, it really just comes down to making sure that person is getting the experience they want.
Yeah, you're hosting an experience.
Yeah, and so that's hard for us too, as a science driven, you know, crazy cocktail bar, to not focus on that, but rather turn that outward to something else.
Yeah,
it's been important. That's my number one thing to overcome for you know, just customer service.
Yeah, oh. I think you guys should like. I kind of like the idea of the beakers, though, man. You should have, like, the really big mixing ones and, like, start punching them or something.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. Yeah, Erlenmeyer flasks everywhere, you know. Yeah. Yeah, we did for a time. I mean, we've thrown that out there. Yeah. We've had the beakers and we've had all the, you know, things, make sure that everything's clear so you can see everything happening. And, you know, we do the Red Hot Poker in a pint glass. You know why? Because it's scary, but you can see it boiling and flaming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's no reason to write that off just because it can be a little bit of a aesthetic drive.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You should have your guests wear like goggles, like protective eyewear at the bar.
Oh yeah, it's happening. I'm gonna start doling out lab coats as they walk in the door. You know, we'll take your size and watch your eyes.
You know. So what are some of the events and things that you're participating in this year?
It's always so busy and we're getting to that
time of year, man.
It's coming together, but you know, we try and get out in the world, you know. Our major drive is always to do stuff like, we have Taste of the Nation coming up, where a couple of our bartenders are donating a class for auction there. We'll go do that event and then hopefully usher some people into the bar. MCC, you know, the Manhattan Cocktail Classic, is bringing a whole bunch of people into the city, and we're doing a little seminar. We just experience our birthday, so the bar is now 1 year
congratulations.
Old.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's been a rough year, a long year, and we finally have some good stories to tell about all this stuff that we're doing. So we're pairing up with a liquor company and throwing a seminar for that.
Cool.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
Nice.
Between the bar and the lab, it's hard for me and Dave to get a lot of time together anymore. And so when I always look forward to these events, because we get back there and you have a sudden like reminiscing of the days of, you know, 120-hour weeks, 130-hour weeks behind the bar when we were both there sleeping on stools in between shifts and getting everything put together. And it's fun to revisit those stories and just bring it back to those days.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's my favorite, man. I always talk about that with especially with my original staff. When we're opening Prime Eats, just like sanding the bar and like refinishing and like sleeping in the booth and like, you know, it takes a lot of heart and dedication, man.
It does. It takes heart, dedication, zero sleep, and Dave's DJing, which I don't know if you've ever stuck around Booker and Dax till the end of the night when Dave Arnold inevitably rolls in and hijacks the iPod.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yeah.
There's a story that maybe you can retell. I don't know if you were there, but he said something about ignition and a guy trying to seal the deal at the end of a night.
Did that come up on air? Is that public knowledge?
That's public knowledge.
Yeah. That happens, you know, and I wish that was infrequent, but that's more the general story. When Dave's in the bar, he tries just to make things happen. And so he feels the vibe. He comes in, rolls in late night, inevitably about 2 to 3 in the morning, plugs in his iPod, and it's usually a little bit of R. Kelly and anything along that line until he's dancing through the bar and everybody's up out of their seats and having a good time. And it's always Dave's drive to make sure that things are going well for everyone involved, whether that's drinks or dancing partners or just generally good times. Yeah.
I felt like there was a little Giuseppe about to come out in this conversation.
Yeah,
you're really well put together.
I'm trying to hold it together here. I'm trying to, you know, my manager and at the bar is also my roommate, and I have as much as I could ever want to throw him under the table with. But I'm trying to keep him around. So we're gonna steer clear of Dave's stories
well
when
played.
That comes in.
Well played.
Yeah. So I remember last year at Tales of the Cocktail, there was like a guerrilla conference in one of the like suites, and you were part of it with like Aaron Polsky and Maxwell Britton, and who else was there?
It was New York, but in New Orleans. It was kind of it was great. Jeff Bell, Tom Chadwick,
yeah.
Dave was there. We had Leslie to moderate it. Ms. Pariseau was there, taking charge, and it was a blast. It's fun when you get all those people in one room and let them just actually just talk about what's getting them, you know?
Yeah, Jack, sorry. I did record that, but
that's
didn't.
Another great story.
Yeah. So I brought the company voice recorder, audio recorder to Tales, and I got about 2 minutes of usable audio and the rest. And I recorded everything.
You were adamant about getting it on tape. It was great.
None of it got recorded.
None of it came out. None of it came out. Just like hours of static. That's why we gotta make sure that we get Jack down to Tales this year.
That's right. Have somebody there to record these moments.
Yeah, and then we can go crazy, and he can just follow us around. Maybe we don't need a recorder.
I was going to say, I remember some late nights on Bourbon Street, and our faithful host here.
Not me.
not Damon.
No, I'm saying I don't remember those. No.
You know, it always comes with some good stories after that week. But man, alive, to have somebody documenting it might be a little dangerous.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah.
That's why we have the radio show. We can talk about it later, and we can edit out the parts that don't need to be there.
That's right. We can keep a clean slate. No, I would love to put those people back in the room again. I mean, it's fun when you get so many service people who are a pretty young-driven crew.
That was the best thing, I think, that I went to last year. It was just a bunch of, for the listeners, it was a bunch of bartenders with unique bar programs in New York City, just kind of hashing it out in a hotel suite, drinking champagne and absinthe. And there was a bunch of people from the media there, too. And it was almost like a debate between the bartenders and like media and PR.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like hashing out the differences and like learning from each other. And
everyone
walked out of that hotel room, that hotel suite, just like kind of like, I love you, man.
Yeah, this is great. I'm so glad I got to see this. There were a few girlfriends even there of like some of the bartenders who were just like, I can't believe I get to see this right now. You know, and at first took a little offense to it and then suddenly jumped right on board about getting to talk about everything.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. The magic of talking shop.
True.
That's what's kept the show alive for 2 years. Awesome. Tristan, we're at the end of the show. We can find you at Booker and Dax.
Anytime.
When you're not in the lab there. Thanks for coming on the show. Can't wait to have you back sometime.
Thanks, Damon.
All right. Cheers, everybody. Come to the party tonight. That will be at Heritage Foods office in Red Hook. You can find information online. I said Red Hook, huh? Bushwick, sorry. And come out and support Heritage and have a bunch of drinks made by Tristan and Mike from Roberta's. All right, until next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.